Good morning to you all. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. The collect for today. Almighty God, in whose service lies perfect freedom, teach us to obey you with loving hearts and steadfast wills, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." And he said to them, What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they became angry with James and John. So Jesus called to them and said, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be the first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is the Gospel of the Lord. So last year, I decided that I wanted to go and watch Arsenal women play football at the Emirates Stadium. They had a kind of bundle deal, which meant I was able to go to 5 games and watch them play usually on a Sunday afternoon, which when you're a vicar is not the most helpful thing in the universe. But I did manage to make 4 games out of the 5 that I'd signed up for. The choice of seats that I had last year wasn't so great. I did it very late in the season. The season in September, the season was about to start, and I was kind of in the corner of the stadium. I could see half the pitch pretty well. I could see one goal incredibly well. The other one up the other end, not quite so much. It was always that case of, has it gone in? Has it not? Oh, everyone's all right. Yeah, it's gone in. Excellent. Couldn't really tell if it had or it hadn't. This year, however, when the email came through, would I like to have those seats again this year? Absolutely. But this year, I got a much better choice of seats because I was ready online as it opened to get a seat that was slightly better. So this year, I'm in block 1, row 20, seat 14, which is probably going to mean not a lot to any of you at all, unless you know about stadiums and where things are at the Emirates. But it is a much better seat. Way better. I'm literally on the midway line. So I can see that way really well, and I can see that way really well as well. I was there last Saturday for their second game of the season, and I sat there and was like, I have no idea how much this would cost if it was a men's game. It would be some astronomical price to be that close to the pitch and that good of view. Thankfully for the women's game, the prices are still fairly cheap. But I wonder, do you have a favourite seat? Do you always come into church? And do you always sit exactly where you sat the week before? Choir are slightly different because they're sat in particular places. So I guess I sit where I'm meant to sit. But do you have a favourite seat here, a favourite pew? Do you have a favourite seat at home? Is it perfectly placed for the draft so you don't get the draft from the door? You can see the TV perfectly. There's no glare from the windows. When you sit around a dining room table with family, does everyone have their seats where they automatically sit for every meal? For James and John in our gospel reading today, They were after the best seats in the house. They wanted that front row seat for when Jesus ushered in God's kingdom and rule. But yet again, they were misjudged in what they were asking for because they didn't fully grasp what it was they wanted, or in fact, how God's kingdom works. In Matthew's gospel, we have the same story, but this time it's the mother who is doing the asking for them. Imagine overhearing this conversation that James and John are having with Jesus and being one of those other 10 disciples who heard them make this request before Jesus gives their response to them. Mark recalls that they become angry at what the brothers do, as does Matthew. Were some angry because they didn't think to ask the question first? Were they angry at themselves because they didn't even think about that question in the first place? Angry because James and John seem to elevate themselves above everybody else in their thinking, that in some way they deserved to be seated on the right and on the left of Jesus. And being seated on the right and left of someone in power was a sign of prestige. It was a sign that they were important, that they were the co-counsel. What they were basically asking was that they wanted to share with Jesus in his glory. And yet neither of them had fully grasped what that would mean. They hadn't fully grasped what Jesus was going to have to do in his final week on earth. And the cup that he talks about bearing, Jesus asked them in verse 38, "Are you able to drink the cup that I drink?" And a cup was used as a metaphor as to what God had in store for people, normally something not very nice. And Jesus uses that cup metaphor as he prays in the garden before his arrest. And Luke records him saying, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but your will be done." And so the cup that Jesus is referring to with James and John is the death that he will suffer upon the cross. They answer that they're able to face that same fate that Jesus will. But again, they don't really understand what they're asking. Their wish is to be at Jesus's right and left is not going to happen. Yet never one to miss an opportunity to teach, Jesus turns the argument among the disciples into a reminder of what he had come to do. And that was not to lord over people as a traditional ruler would. Jesus wanted to do the opposite. He came to serve others. Something that even today goes against what we are told the world wants us to be like. Jesus wanted them to live a life of service to others, not fighting between each other to be the top disciple. The leaders Jesus was shaping them into would be leaders who would be servants, not masters. The kingdom of God values, once again, turn the world upside down. To lead, is to be a servant in the kingdom of God. To lead is not to look for the glory, as James and John did, but to look for those to help, to not worry about sitting in that best seat or having the best view. The kingdom of God is about helping those who need it. So James and John didn't get their wish, their request to be seated with Jesus in glory. And with hindsight of all that Jesus suffered, that was probably a good thing for them. But I wonder, in hindsight, if there are things that we have wished for to happen and yet are grateful that they didn't actually come true. Things that we have prayed for, maybe, but actually in hindsight are grateful that it didn't actually happen the way we wanted it to. Which have then led to other opportunities in order that we can serve God in a different way and build his kingdom here on earth. So that favourite seat that you all have, maybe it's time to give it up and let someone else have a better view. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among you and with all those whom you love, now and always. Amen. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.